Listen, I worried the kids might start goofing off or sniping at each other, snickering at the ones you chose, kids and teachers, who are a little out of shape. Only one segment in, but I don't think they will. Neither do I now. And if it stays smooth enough with the 2-hour break for lunch and recovery after the next segment, we may be right on schedule. One thing. Okay? The kid, Kevin. I don't want to give him too much attention. You can see it embarrasses him, but you might see if he'd be interested in having you work with him some one-on-one. Part of the embarrassment is from being a little overweight and out of shape, and it's brave of him to be part of this.
You've always done that,
Adrian murmured. Instantly, Lena stiffened.
What?
Zoned in on someone who needs some help and wants it but can't ask. I've always admired that about you. It's what makes you so good at what you do.
Well, thank you.
I've already talked to him about just that, because apparently I am my mother's daughter. I've designed a program for him he can do at home on his own. His parents are supportive. And he'll come by my studio once a week so I can evaluate.
With nutrition included.
Of course. He started on it about a week ago. I can already see some improvement. Why don't I keep you updated on him?
I'd like that.
Lena didn't reach out. It wasn't her way. But she asked,
We're better?
Yes, Mom. Because it was her way, Adrian leaned in to kiss Lena's cheek.
We're better.
Sunday evening, after a full, sweaty, productive 2 days, Adrian sat on her yoga mat, legs crossed, hands resting palms up on her knees.
Put your hands together in prayer. Bow forward to embrace the practice you've just completed. And namaste.
She smiled. Congratulations, everyone. You've just graduated Fitness 101. And you aced it. The cast began to scramble up, exchange high fives, even hugs. Thank you for joining us, Lena said into the camera. Remember, keep well, keep striving. She put her arm around Adrian. Every day is a new chance. I'm Lena Rizzo.
I'm Adrian Rizzo.
Come back and work out with us anytime. They went around, more high fives, more hugs.
That's a wrap, Hector called out. Nice work, everybody.
By the time they broke down the set, gathered up equipment, extra wardrobe, dusk whispered down. Lena stopped short when somebody called her name as they stepped outside. Adrian saw a man half in shadows, and her heart thumped. Her right hand balled into a fist. She rolled up on her toes. He only stepped forward, a cap in his hand, a half smile on his face. Slightly familiar, she thought, laying a hand on her mother's arm in case. In case. But her mother let out a gasping laugh.
Matt? Matt Weaver? Well, just, Jesus, Matthew.
And stepping to him, put her arms around him in a hug. Adrian saw him close his eyes a moment and breathe out. Adrian, this is an old friend of mine. Matt, this is my daughter, Adrian.
Nice to meet you. You sure look a lot like your ma. How'd we get to have grown kids, Lena?
God knows.
I want to say right off, I'm sure sorry about Mr. Rizzo. I was at the memorial, but there were so many people and I didn't want to bother you.
You never did like crowds.
That hasn't changed. So, my cousin's boy, Cliff, he was in there with y'all.
Cliff, sure, the football player. Like you.
Those were the days.
When he flashed a grin, a little dimple popped at the right corner of his mouth.
I don't want to hold you up. I just wondered if maybe you'd like to get a bite to eat and catch up some.
Oh, well, we're having a wrap party at the restaurant. He nodded, running the cap in circles in his hands.
Sometime, then. Some other time.
Actually, the cast and crew are taking the back. Probably spill out a bit. But I can get us a table. I've got pull with the owner.
Adrian smiled.
I'll make sure of it.
I'll meet you there, Adrian. Is it still a pickup, Matt?
I brought the car, as I recollect you didn't much care for riding in a truck.
Adrian considered as she walked to her own car. Square-jawed, straw-colored hair going white at the temples, clean-shaven, shy, kind eyes, that flash of grin and dimple. Interesting. Additional interesting came at the end of the evening when Adrian went to settle up.
I'm moving them out, Jan. Sorry, I know we're right on top of closing.
No problem for me. We like big, happy, hungry groups in here.
We sure were all of that.
She glanced around, saw only a couple tables still occupied in the main dining room.
I don't see my mother and her friend.
Oh, right. They left about a half hour ago. She asked me to tell you she was going over to have a look at Matt's farm.
Jan handed Adrian the credit card and receipt.
If I were you, I wouldn't wait up.
Thanks, I... What?
With something close to a snicker, Jan leaned over the counter.
When you work as long in a restaurant as I have, you know how to read people. Body language, expressions, tones, gestures, all of that. What I saw is, I'll call it two people moving toward a romantic finale. Old flames, honey.
Yeah, but...
I've known Matt for a long time. He's a good man. I'll add they both looked happy and had lots to talk about.
Well, that's... something. I'm not sure what.
I'll move the stragglers along. Most of them are headed to my place anyway. She decided not to mention it, even to Harry and Mimi. Just too strange. When they got home and Harry commented that it looked as if Lena had gone to bed, Adrian let out a strangled laugh and said,
"Guess so."
In the morning, she rose early, got in a shortened workout while the house slept on. In the kitchen, she made frittatas for the farewell breakfast, slid them in the oven with her fingers mentally crossed. She checked the coffee maker to be sure it had water, added fresh beans, then made a smoothie for herself. She sat at the counter with her smoothie and her tablet to check viewer email. When she heard the front door open and close, she figured one of her house guests had gone out for some morning air. But looking up, she saw her mother walking back toward the kitchen. She'd assumed Lena had come home late, hadn't anticipated an overnight. After a moment's consideration, she went with instinct.
I'm sure you know you're grounded.
Funny.
When Lena reached for a mug, programmed the fancy machine for coffee, Adrian's eyebrows shot up.
Coffee? You?
Occasionally.
It's about moderation and good choices, not deprivation.
I wish you'd said that to a girl who loved Cokes.
Lena glanced back.
So do I.
I didn't mean it like that. Forget that. And I'm having a Coke.
She got up, pulled one out of the fridge.
So. You and Matt Weaver.
Nothing serious. Neither of us are looking for that.
With the mug of black coffee, Lena sat at the counter with Adrian.
So no real buzz.
Oh, plenty of it.
Lena brushed at her smooth swing of hair.
Then and now. It was nice to see him again, to catch up on the past, God, 3 decades.
He and his younger son work the farm. His oldest went to law school and practices in the next county. His daughter's an RN and lives a handful of miles away. He's been divorced for about 12 years and has 5 grandchildren. She sipped her coffee. But now, as then, he's rooted to his farm and I'm rooted to my career. There was always something between us, and now I realize there always will be. But we want very different things for our lives.
We had nostalgia sex, and it was lovely.
Then she smiled.
And we agreed when I'm in town, as long as both of us remain unencumbered, which both of us appear to want, we'll have more nostalgia sex.
Booty calls. My mother.
I haven't gone 30 years without sex, Adrian. I simply know how to be selective and discreet.
Something smells wonderful.
I'm making frittatas.
Frittatas.
Lena studied Adrian over her coffee.
The Rizzo gene seems to have planted in you.
I'm trying to nurture it along, which reminds me, I'm wondering if we should do a cookbook. Healthy but tasty recipes. Rizzo and Rizzo, cook yourself fit or something.
We could see. We both know I'm no cook, but
let me think about it. Then we'll talk about it more the next time I'm in town. But right now, I'm taking my coffee up. Changing. Do they still call it the walk of shame? Mostly as a joke, between friends. I'll just avoid that altogether.
Amused, Adrian pulled her tablet back over. She saw a new email from the investigator on her personal account.
Adrian, I'm back in D.C. and would like to schedule a meeting with you this week if possible. I will, of course, have a written report, but would like to speak to you personally. Please let me know what day and time would work best, and I'll schedule accordingly. Best, Rachel.
Adrian checked her calendar, noted times she had appointments at the job site, with Tisha for business, with her young trainee for evaluation. She responded, listing those dates and times as problematic, but opening the rest of the week. She could shift her own work around to suit. The beauty of being self-employed, she thought. Then she put the tablet away, put it out of her mind. Farewell breakfasts weren't the time for dark thoughts.
Part 3. Legacies. The future is purchased by the present. Samuel Johnson. Chapter 21. Adrian read the next poem midweek, hours before Rachel was due to arrive. The poet had reverted back to the single sheet, the simple white envelope. Postmark, Omaha. She read it sitting on the front porch with Sadie at her feet, watching her.
I'm all right. Don't worry.
Summer's coming at last. Your last. My time of waiting is in the past. Yours, mine, ours, again to meet. And with your death, my life completes.
I'm all right, she said again. But whoever's doing this isn't anywhere in the wide universe of all right. Yours, mine, ours. What kind of bullshit is that?
She shoved up to pace the porch while a hummingbird zipped like a flying jewel to the feeder she'd hung on a tree branch.
And that last line, what does that mean? He kills me, he reaches a goal? Or is it like murder-suicide? Kill me, end his own. Why am I trying to figure out the crazy?
She pressed her fingers to her eyes.
Somebody's got to figure it out.
She dropped her hands, looked out at the slope of the hills, green and lush, the trees leafed out, the towering rhododendron in the side yard, lush with fat pink blooms.
He's right about one thing. Summer's definitely coming. And you know what? I'm sick of waiting, too.
Maybe it was impulse. Maybe it was reckless, but she didn't care. At that moment, she just didn't care. She went in and upstairs to change into workout gear. She did her makeup, carefully. After some debate, she raked some product through her hair and styled it in a high, half-up ponytail.
Casual sexy, right, Sadie? Who says you shouldn't look your best when you throw down the gauntlet? Let's go make a fucking statement.
The dog went with her down to the studio, settled herself by the fireplace while Adrian set up for a recording. She'd put it on her blog.
He damn well followed her blog.
Then she'd put it on all her social media for good measure.
Let's see how you like it, asshole.
She hit record, beamed a smile.
Hey, everyone. I'm Adrian Rizzo, and I thought we'd do a little bonus round this week. Just some quick energy and stress relief when you need it. It's going to be a challenging one. But I want to send this one out especially to the poet. You know who you are. It's easy to put things off, but what does it get you? Nothing and nowhere, right? You're unhappy, stressed out, putting off taking real action to get what you really want. You can blame someone else. You can blame the world. But what it comes down to is what's in you.
She tapped a fist lightly on her heart.
When you feel that bad, feel that sad, feel that mad, get up and move. Now, this one's not for beginners, but this poet's been following me a long time, so this bonus is for the more experienced. Three rounds of three, 30 seconds each. We're going to do split lunges with squats.
She stepped back to demonstrate.
Right, left, squat, and we're going to do them fast. Remember your form. Safety and performance.
She lowered into a lunge again.
Knee over ankle, weight front-loaded, get that back knee close to the floor. Then switch. Keep that landing soft. Then squat. Then drop down for pike up, spider leg, right, up again for split jacks. We do it all again, second round, left leg on the spider, then a third time alternating legs.
She demonstrated each, tossed back her ponytail.
This takes endurance, strength, reaching for your guts. Can you make it? 9 minutes. Eyes on the prize. Timer set, and here we go.
She hit the speed, keeping her eyes on the camera as she called out the moves.
If you hit your max, stop. Regroup. Get your mind right and pick it up again. No shame in hitting your limit. The shame is never really trying. Keep your chest up, head up, lower on those squats, butt back. Drop it. Pike up, spider leg, pike up, spider leg. Move it. I'm told summer's coming, so let's get that bod in shape. Yours, mine, ours. We're ready to do this. Now jack it up.
She couldn't stop, wouldn't stop. She'd made her damn point, finally.
Round two. If you lose your form, take a break, then get back in. I'm challenging you to get to it.
Her heart pounded as much from satisfaction as exertion. Sweat slicked her skin, but she kept tracking her eyes back to the camera as she pushed through the third round. To the one who watched.
And there's 9 minutes. Cool it down, stretch it out. Congratulations to anyone who gave that a shot. Now bring up your favorite cool down, bring down that heart rate, stretch out those hard-worked muscles. And remember, my life is mine to live strong. If you think you can stop me, you're wrong. I'll push away the doubt and fear, because my own destiny I steer.
And she laughed.
A little lame, but it shows everybody's a poet. Until next time, this is Adrienne Rizzo. Stay fit, stay fierce.
She watched it through once, then put it on her blog under Bonus Round Challenge, added it to her social media.
I bet this is going to piss you off. Good.
She hydrated, stretched.
Let's go outside, Sadie, and leave the phone here. Because when Tisha sees this, she'll probably be the first of many, she's going to be very angry. Let's just go out and check the tomatoes.
It took Tisha less than 20 minutes to storm the gates. She marched around to the back where Adrienne threw the ball for an ecstatic Sadie. Not answering your phone is the equivalent of putting your fingers in your ears and going la la la.
Maybe, yeah, but I wanted a little cool-off time. You're fast.
I want you to take it off. Everything. You know I can. I have authorization, but...
You know it's my choice. Leaving it up is my choice.
It's the wrong choice.
Is it? Is sucking it up for all these years the right one? Letting other people deal with it when it's aimed at me, that's the right choice?
Police, Riz. FBI, now a private investigator. Professionals. So yeah, that's the smart choice.
And even with all of that, I got another one today.
I figured. Tisha scrubbed her hands over her face. And I'm sorry. You know I'm sorry, but how is challenging him going to help at all?
Because he's a coward and a bully, and it's long past time I let him know I know.
What did this one say? Adrienne closed her eyes, brought it back into her head, recited the words.
Freaking psycho.
Hands on her hips, Tisha turned two circles.
What time is the PI due?
4, maybe 4:30.
Okay.
You come home with me. Hang there until.
He could be a mile away, Adrienne. Or he could be in damn Omaha. And this is exactly why I had to do something. I can't keep going like this. He's accomplished at least some of what he wanted. He screws with my head. I dread the stupid mail. And yeah, a suggestion was to close the P.O. box, but the conclusion was also he'd just find another way.
But he might make a mistake the other way.
Might, maybe. And they'd still have my name on them, so they'd end up at the post office anyway. No return address. It's not an answer. I don't know if this is either, but I feel better. I feel like I did something to flick back at him.
Hissing, Tisha pulled out her phone when it signaled.
It's Harry. Hi, Harry. Yes, wait. Yes, I know. I'm standing here with her right now.
Uh-huh.
Tisha held out the phone.
It's for you.
Damn it.
She let him rage at her.
No, I'm not taking it down. And what's the point if it's already got over 200 views? One of them's probably him, her, let's just say them. I'm not sorry I did it because, damn it, I needed to hit back. No, wait.
She drew a breath.
I'm saying this to both you and Tisha. I'm sorry it upsets you, worries you. I'm sorry it's going to upset and worry my mother and everyone else, but the card he sent after Poppy died, it tore at me. This one just snapped what was left. I'm done, Harry, I'm done. I'm giving the phone back to Tisha now.
Once she did, she walked over, picked up the ball, threw it again. A few minutes later, Tisha wrapped arms around her from behind.
We love you, Adrian. I know that's why I'm sorry this worries you. I know, I do. It wasn't the safe, sensible thing to do. But Tisha, I needed to hit back, finally. I needed to at least feel like I'd taken some control.
I get that.
I get you. We've been friends too long for me not to get you.
Same goes, so I really am sorry I've added more worry.
Just remember, I've done all the other sensibles. Cops, FBI, investigator, security system, self-defense classes, big dog.
Sadie dropped the ball at Adrian's feet, looked up adoringly.
Yeah, she's ferocious.
Okay.
Tisha gave Adrian a last squeeze, then stepped back.
When it comes down to it, I don't know if I could have held out as long as you have. And when you hit back, you hit hard. That asshole's going to need first, second, and third aid for the burn you gave him. And I've got to go. I'll see you tomorrow when I torture you with the budget for furnishing the youth center.
The Rizzo Family Youth Center.
Okay, then, you've decided on the name.
I've gone around and around. Do I name it after my grandparents? After Poppy, since it's his vision? But he shared that vision with Nana. Still, they wouldn't have been here, had the means to have the vision without his parents. I wouldn't be here, able to bring that vision into reality without all of that, including my mother. So, family. And you can add the plaque to the budget.
We'll talk about that.
Tisha looked down at the ever-patient Sadie.
Learn to growl, at least.
Adrian picked up the ball again as Tisha left.
Growling's not your style, is it, baby?
She threw the ball again, and again while she worked out how to tell Rachel what she'd done.
Lectures, Sadie. I think I'm in for another lecture. Why are lectures worse than a solid smack in the face?
When Rachel texted, she was running a little behind. Adrian told her not to worry. She settled down on the front porch with her tablet, doing searches on plaques. Sizes, materials, shapes, fonts. She didn't want a big flashy statement, but something more subtle, dignified, suiting the building. She wanted what her grandparents would have wanted. She took another text after she'd narrowed her favorites down to three.
Adrian delayed by traffic. ETA now 6. Can reschedule if that's too late.
Adrian glanced at the time, noted the investigator had already passed the halfway point.
It's not too late for me. No particular plans this evening.
Right, Sadie? Just you and me hanging out.
Great, Rachel texted back. See you in about 30.
It was closer to 40 when Adrian saw the car coming up the hill. But she'd spent the time well, deciding on the plaque, setting out a cheese tray and a carafe of wine. Sadie waited until Rachel got out of the car,
waited until she'd recognized the visitor before she thumped her tail.
"I'm so sorry," Rachel began, but Adrian waved that away.
"Don't be. I got everything done I wanted to get done, and I'm about to have a glass of wine. I know you have a long drive back, but unless you'd rather something else, I'd say you've earned one."
Rachel looked at the carafe, let out a sigh.
"I'd love one, thanks. 2 fender benders," she said as she sat. "1 breakdown, and traffic stopped dead."
She took the wine Adrian offered, sat back a moment. She wore amber-tinted sunglasses and a light blue blazer over a white tee.
"You've got a little paradise going here."
"I'm doing my best to maintain it. I'm trying my hand on my own this year with a veg garden in the back, and I'm crazy happy I've got some tomatoes and peppers coming, and terrified I'll kill them."
"Epsom salts, diluted with water."
"Yes." Surprised, Adrian laughed. "My grandmother swore by that. You garden?"
"City dweller, so pots and planters. Nothing like a tomato right off the vine."
"So, before we start, I need to tell you and show you. I got another poem this morning."
She took the folder she'd put on the chair beside her on the table.
"Postmarked Omaha. I copied the note and the envelope."
Rachel switched to her reading glasses, read the poem.
"More direct than usual. Setting a time frame.
Summer. And that's coming right up. I need to tell you, I reacted."
Rachel peered over the cheaters.
"In what way?"
Adrian simply opened her tablet, queued up the video, and turning it to face Rachel, hit play. Rachel sipped her wine, watched without comment until the video ended.
"You posted this today?"
"Yes, and on my social media outlets. I've scanned the comments a few times and nothing out of the ordinary so far."
Rachel nodded, then let her glasses dangle by her chain as she looked directly at Adrian.
"You're a smart woman, and knew issuing a direct challenge like this could spark an escalation, even a confrontation. That's why you did it."
"Yes."
"I'm not here to issue orders, and can only offer my best advice. I'll say I wish you'd waited until we'd had this meeting."
"I've waited since I was 17. Instead of easing off, it's gotten worse."
"That's true. Since you didn't wait, we'll assess on what is. If this video does trigger him into making a threat in the comments on social media, we can track his IP address, which you knew."
"Yes. I'm sure he knows that too, but he could rage post. People do. Even people who aren't sick and obsessed."
"Correct, so we'll monitor closely. I can consult with the agent in charge of your case. Nudge her to do the same."
"I'd appreciate it."
"Meanwhile, I have a report."
She reached into her bag.
"Some progress and some theories."
"You went to Pittsburgh?"
"I did. The reporter who broke the story about your parentage relocated there several years ago. He works for a gossip online site."
"You don't think he's behind this?"
"No, and he's been interviewed since you've started receiving the poems. The attack in Georgetown, Jonathan Bennett's death, generated a lot of media attention. Prior to that, your mother, and by connection you, generated some, primarily positive, but some negative, of course. Nothing's ever all."
"And some people criticized her for being unmarried, alluded she was promiscuous, which is a tame term for some of it, because she wouldn't name the father."
Adrian closed her tablet, set it aside.
"I didn't know any of that at the time. After the story broke, after Georgetown, some of those went after her a lot harder. Ugly stuff in some corners. I didn't know that either because she brought me here, had me stay here until that had died down or away."
Calm and steady now, Adrian drank some wine.
"She shielded me, in her way, and pushed back, pushed harder in her career. Nothing was going to stop her. I resented that once. Now I can admire it."
"Stories cropped up again from time to time. This particular reporter, Dennis Brown, tried reviving it as it had given him a temporary career boost."
"I know, but those were easier to ignore.
She's such a force, and she just refused to discuss it in interviews, or really at all. When Lena Rizzo locks a door, it's all but impossible to break it down.
I agree with you, which is why I went to Pittsburgh. She'd locked the door on your biological father, but someone breached it. How and why? I don't like questions without answers. Is it old, settled business, or is it not? I wanted to find out.
And did you find out?
It's a lot of years to protect a source, especially when that source has not only dried up, but is no longer viable. And I can take angles the police can't. He's twice divorced with 3 child support payments. His income is, we'll say, severely diminished, and he likes his bourbon. Understanding, Adrian smiled a little.
You bribed him.
I did, with your mother's permission, as she's paying the freight. $1,000. I had permission to go to 5, but he was a cheap date. The $1,000 opened him up. The bottle of Maker's Mark made him positively loquacious. Since it was there, Rachel spread a little cheese on a paper-thin cracker.
God, this is good. What is it?
Rustico with red pepper.
Amazing.
So after the money and a couple shots of bourbon, I got the whole story. His source was Catherine Bennett.
I don't understand.
His wife knew about Bennett's predilection for attractive young co-eds. She'd looked the other way, preserving their lifestyle, her family, their standing in the university, the community. But she learned about you. He'd fathered a child, and that, it seems, shook her foundation. From what I can piece together, rather than confronting him, risking divorce, she began to self-medicate, or upped her self-medication. She popped Valium, Xanax, and other drugs to get through it, but there you were, you and your mother. Yoga baby on the cusp, maybe just over it, of becoming a household brand. She could tolerate the affairs, but not the in-your-face reminder he'd fathered a child outside of the world she'd so carefully maintained.
She broke the story,
Adrian mused.
He blamed my mother, me, never himself. But it was his wife who ruined him.
She would be the victim, as she saw it. And he'd pay for humiliating her. Your mother would pay, you'd pay. An angry impulse or calculated, I can't tell you for certain. But she went to Brown. She had names, dates, she gave him names of other women, and he followed up with them, got the pattern. At the time, Bennett was having an affair with another student, a 20-year-old. Maybe that broke Catherine, I can't say. But you and your mother were her targets, and the headline. A college professor diddling students. Not enough to rattle anyone, really, other than those involved. The same professor fathering a child outside his marriage with a woman who'd launched her career with that child? His ticket, Brown thought, to the big time.
So rather than leaving him, she decided to destroy us and him.
Hell hath no fury, especially when that fury's simmered more than a decade. But you and your mother weren't destroyed. You survived. You thrived. And Jonathan Bennett? Not just destroyed. Dead. Dead after attacking a child, 2 women and a child, his own biological child. So instead of being a stoic, heartbroken victim, she was the wife of a serial philanderer, a vicious, violent drunk, a child abuser. And that light shined back on her, harsh.
You think she's behind this? She's sending the poems?
No, because she died, suicide by pills, nearly 14 years ago. But you have 2 half-siblings.
Oh my God!
She had to stand, to walk, to hug her arms tight. Nikki, age 37. Jonathan Jr., age 34. Do you need a break?
No. No, keep going.
I haven't been able to interview either of them as yet. Junior's off the grid and has been for about 10 years. When he took his inheritance, considerable as his mother's parents were wealthy, and basically vanished. I'm working on that. Nikki is a consultant. She travels to clients to devise business plans, revise current ones, streamline expenses, maximize profits.
She's worked for Ardaro Consultants for 15 years. She's in high demand.
She travels.
Often and countrywide. Omaha. The last one was Omaha. She's scheduled for San Diego, Santa Fe, and Billings on this trip, due to return to her home in Georgetown late next week. I intend to have a chat with her. She has no criminal record, she's never married, has no children. She lives apparently alone in the house where she and her brother grew up, the house her mother's money bought. She's described as quiet, hardworking, pleasant. She has no close friends I could find, nor any enemies.
Keeps to herself. Isn't that what they always say?
They often do. The brother has a few minor bumps. Drunken, disorderly, DUIs, a couple of assaults, which were dropped. No marriages, no children. He listed the Georgetown house as his residence until 10, nearly 11 years ago. He's described as unfriendly, unsociable. He's had a series of jobs, nothing stuck for more than a year, usually less. He did have some friends, and one, a recovering alcoholic, told me that back in the day he always talked about building a cabin in the woods, maybe by a river or lake, and telling the world to get fucked. He may have done just that. I'm working on it. Adrian sat again.
I have to say I don't think of the Bennets as half-siblings.
You're entitled.
There's a chance, and to me, minor, biological connection, and nothing else. You think one of them, and you lean toward the daughter because of her travel, has this grudge against me, like their mother did.
She may very well have helped instill it.
Yes, I can see that. And their father died, disgraced, died because my mother protected me, herself, Mimi. So we can be blamed for that. Their mother died, and I guess we could be blamed for that, too. She died not long before the poems started coming.
Possibly a psychic break, that final loss, coupled with the release of your own DVD. But the timing certainly plays into my theory. While I strongly believe one or both of them is responsible for this, I need to conduct more interviews, because I believe this is more than poems. I was delayed leaving D.C. because I went to interview another of Bennett's affairs. She lives in Foggy Bottom. She had the affair, from the timeline, about a year before he started one with your mother. She was very forthcoming, and during the course of the interview, I asked if she's received any threats, any anonymous poems, if she'd had anything happen to make her feel threatened and so on. No letters, no phone calls, Rachel said, taking another cracker. But she'd moved several years ago because of a break-in and a tragedy. Shortly after her divorce, she'd gone away, Impulse with a new boyfriend, for a long weekend, and had her sister stay in her house. Just house-sitting, but mostly to give her sister a change of scene, as she'd recently been downsized out of her job. Someone broke into the house. The sister was shot multiple times as she slept. Several items were taken, valuables, in what appeared to be a botched burglary.
You don't think that?
No. I made that trip to Foggy Bottom because I'd had a conversation with the mother of another woman whose name was on Catherine's list, the names she gave to the reporter. Absently, Rachel spread cheese on another cracker. Let me add in that it's going to take a while to locate everyone on the list, marriages, divorces, moving to different locations. In this case, the mother lived in Bethesda, so was easy to reach. She knew her daughter had been involved with an older man while in college. A married man. A fling. Nothing more. I spoke with the mother, as the woman herself was stabbed to death a few years ago while taking her usual morning hike. Attacked on a trail in Northern California, where she lived with her husband and two sons. Very carefully, Adrian picked up the bottle of wine, added more to her glass.
They both had affairs with John Bennett.
Their names were on the list given to the reporter, so whether they did or not, Catherine believed they did. Police wouldn't have that list, or any reason to connect a shooting death during a break-in in D.C. with a stabbing death in California. The only link is that the owner of the house where the first victim was shot was a woman, like the second victim, who went to Georgetown University at different times. I wanted to get this information to you as soon as possible. I'll start checking the other names on the list right away. Adrian took a slow sip of wine. My mother's name is on that list. I've contacted her, and she'll take precautions. I can't tell you there's no risk to her, but it's more probable they, let's use they for simplicity, have focused on you. It certainly may be they intend to deal with her at some later point, but the poems come to you, and have all along. They resent you for your very existence. The fact that you were born took something away from them, diminished their standing. And it makes you responsible for their father's death, for their mother's eventual suicide. If using this theory you read over the poems, that blame and resentment is clearly there.
Yes, Adrian agreed. Yes, it is.
More? You're successful in your field, enjoy some celebrity in that field. You've paid no price for the insult of your birth. Add to that, you're a young, very attractive woman with considerable financial security and an admirable family legacy. Their legacy is adultery, abuse, suicide, public humiliation.
Hurting me won't change that, but I can follow your theory. What now? Will you take all this to the FBI? The police?
I will, but I'd like to contact the other women if possible first, or as many as I can locate. And I want to talk to Nikki Bennett. If I can solidify the theory, law enforcement will be a lot more inclined to bring her in for questioning, to find her brother. And if they can tie one or both of them to these murders, to charge them.
Okay.
Okay, Adrian said again with a decisive nod. Because I think you're right.
It makes a terrible kind of sense. You've already found out more in weeks than the rest have in years.
I'd really like to take full credit. But I came at this late in the day and with fresh eyes. Also without a stack of case files on my desk. I could focus on this, just this. And I got lucky with the timing. Dennis Brown was ready to spill. Once he had, it presented solid angles to work with.
Don't care. Adrian gestured with her glass. All I know is that for the first time I have a reason for all of this, and I can actually believe it's going to end. Those women. Those two women.
She shut her eyes.
There may be more.
Yes, there may be more.
How many on the list?
Rachel took a moment and her last swallow of wine.
34 in the 14-year period before his death. That she documented. He averaged better than 2 a year.
34? That strikes me as more sex addict behavior than straight dog.
And it had to eat at her.
His wife. It had to, no matter how hard she tried to normalize it. Children know when things are wrong inside the home. They feel it.
I agree. Are psychopaths born or made? A lot of theories on that. In this case, I'm inclined to go with both. I'm going to head back home unless there's something more you need from me.
No.
No, but you've given me a lot to process.
There are more specific details in the written report. If you have any questions, contact me. Meanwhile, look out for yourself.
I will.
I hope your drive home is smoother than the drive here, Adrian added as they rose.
It almost has to be. Thanks for the wine.
And that cheese. Wait, let me wrap it up for you.
You don't have...
But Adrian had already dashed inside. She dashed back out, covered the cheese in clear wrap, put in crackers, the olives she'd seen Rachel nibble on in a little lidded tub, added a small bottle of S. Pellegrino.
My mother's paying you, but this is for me. I'll take it, thanks. I'll be in touch, Adrian.
She watched Rachel drive away, then lowered a hand to Sadie's head.
I feel sick inside. Sick. I haven't given his children a single thought in... I don't know if I ever really gave them one.
Because her legs felt wrong, just wrong, she sat, lowered to wrap her arms around Sadie, to hold the comfort.
The idea they may have given me all this thought, all this twisted thought, it makes me sick inside.
She stayed like that until she felt steadier, then sat a while longer just thinking it all through. She had to read the report. No getting around it. And since she couldn't handle even the idea of eating, she'd make herself a smoothie, then make herself drink it. After that, when Sadie went on alert, Adrian's stomach clenched, but even as she pushed up, she recognized Raylan's car, and everything calmed. She even managed to put on a smile when he got out of the car, when Sadie and Jasper raced toward each other.
Did you escape from the kids?
Briefly. I can't stay. Monroe's giving Bradley a guitar lesson, and Mariah's deigned to play with Finn, but I can't stay.
If you're here to lecture me about my reckless behavior, I may need another glass of wine, and I've already had one and a half.
I'm not.
He came up on the porch, smelling of grass and spring.
You've been mowing.
Yeah, a little sweaty, but...
He cupped her face in his hands, kissed her. Gently, she thought, as he might kiss someone with a mild illness.
Tishy gave me the lowdown.
She's still pissed at me.
He wagged a hand back and forth.
I get she unloaded on you, and Harry, too. Anyway, I watched the video for myself. One day you're going to have to tell me how you do that plank to jump in the air thing without breaking something important. And, okay, reckless impulse, maybe, but brilliant.
What?
You wanted to kick him in the nuts, and you hit the target, and never broke character. Just a short bonus workout. If you're strong enough, tough enough. You needed to take a punch, so you did. I'm behind you on that.
You're behind me on that.
Do I wish you hadn't done it?
He shoved his fingers through his hair, also a little sweaty.
That you hadn't gotten another poem? That you'd never gotten the first one? Sure I do. But we can all rub a lamp and it doesn't pop the genie out. We deal with what is.
She stared at him and started to cry.
Come on now.
He drew her in.
You've had a crappy day.
Really crappy. You came over. You came over and said just what I needed.
And she could let herself go a little, let the tears come, because he had.
You had company,
he murmured.
Two wine glasses, two little plates.
Rachel McNee. The PI.
And did that add more crap to the day?
Oh boy, did it.
Let me ask Tisha if they can wrangle the kids for another half hour, and you can tell me about it.
She pressed her face harder into his shoulder.
Oh yes, please.
Chapter 22. She went in first to slap some water on her face, then got them both a glass of lemonade. A better choice than wine at the moment, she thought. Then she sat and told him everything.
First, it sounds like your mom found an ace in the PI.
Yeah, she did. She stays so calm, and it feels as if how I feel matters. Facts matter more, but she's not just ignoring how I feel, and that helps.
It always does. Next, I don't have to tell you that if her theory pans out, the motivation is pure bullshit. I don't have to tell you because you're not an idiot or the type who likes to play martyr.
So, more of what I need to hear. I do know it, Raylan, but it helps. Again, it helps to hear it said out loud. I separated myself a long, long time ago from the biological factor of my paternity. He is and was nothing to me, and aside from basic DNA, I don't believe he's in me, at all. That would have been harder to manage without my grandparents and, looking back, my mother. Without Mimi and Harry, Tisha, Hector, and Lauren. Without Maya and your mom. Without all of it, she said, gesturing at the town in the distance. Because I could do that, because I had all this, I never thought of his children, his wife, any of it.
Because they're not a part of your life.
He said it simply, and that helped, too.
Why would they be?
If one or both of them had contacted you, tried, for whatever reason, to make a connection, it might be different. But they didn't. Or maybe they did, but not in an Oprah kind of way.
Definitely not. Raylan, if one of them, or both of them, those two women...
He put a hand over hers.
Those two women didn't know. They weren't on alert. For whatever reason, they want you to be. But here's the thing.
He brought her hand to his lips in a gesture she'd have found heart-meltingly romantic under other circumstances.
They're murderers, she finished. They're crazy, obsessed, violent killers, and they want to finish what their father started when he tried to throw me down the stairs.
He kissed her hands again, those green eyes steady on hers.
But they won't finish anything. Your ace of a PI is going to put together enough to get them arrested. But in the meantime, you could take a trip. Go somewhere else. Quiet, private, secure, until she does.
Where? A cabin in the mountains? A house on some beach? A flat in Paris or whatever? Raylan, I'd be alone. Really alone. What always happens to the woman in jeopardy when she takes herself off to hide from the bad guy in some remote, supposedly secure and secret location?
That's fiction.
Which is often rooted in reality. Bad guy finds woman and she's on her own. They'll have to come at me here if they come. Here, where cops are 5 minutes away and stalwart friends and lovers less than that. Where I know every corner of this house. I'm not alone here, and I feel safer here than I would anywhere else. And I believe Rachel's going to do exactly what she said she'd do. Get enough to have them arrested.
You can't expect me to feel good about you alone here.
I don't, but the alternatives are worse.
Maybe. And the maybe stops me from arguing with you. How about this? As soon as school's out, we'll all go somewhere.
We will?
He smiled. And the smile was a challenge.
Don't tell me you're afraid of taking a summer vacation with a couple of kids and two dogs.
I fear nothing. I haven't taken an actual vacation in a long time.
Then you're due. I vote beach, and so will the kids, which makes your vote moot. I'll see what I can come up with.
I've got to get back. School night.
Yeah, it is.
But he drew her to her feet, and this time didn't kiss her as if she were vaguely ill.
Lock the doors, okay? Then go around again to make sure you lock the doors and set the alarm. Then text me before you go to bed.
All right. You made me feel better than the kale smoothie I'm making myself for dinner.
Jesus God, I hope so.
He kissed her again, quick, then headed down the steps.
I'm never drinking one of those. Let's go, Jasper.
They're surprisingly tasty.
That's a terrible, horrible lie.
He had to boost the reluctant Jasper into the car.
Unworthy of you.
An acquired tasty, maybe.
He shook his head.
Just for that, I'm eating a bag of Cheetos after the kids are in bed. Text me.
She would, she thought, as she walked over to gather the dishes from the porch table. She'd lock up, check, set the alarm. And she'd sleep easier, she knew, because he'd come to her and said what she'd needed to hear. She filled the rest of her week, enough it threatened to overflow. Besides her own work, which included a view of Hector's first edit of Fitness 101, she had a long FaceTime conversation with her mother. That included the expected lecture, some debate, and give and take on the editing. She began the serious shopping for lighting, plumbing fixtures, paint, gaming systems for the center. Even with Kayla's considerable help, she took a private vow to never, ever do an extensive rehab again in her lifetime. It kept her mind fully occupied with normal until Rachel contacted her on Friday afternoon. She'd located three more women. One had apparently died of natural causes after a long battle with cancer. One had been found beaten, robbed, in an alley in New Orleans where she managed a bar. The other had been shot in the back of the head in her car after leaving the motel room where she'd left the man she'd had an extramarital affair with. The police in Erie, Pennsylvania, had looked long and hard at the husband, but his alibi had held strong. Four now, she thought. At least four. She glanced at the time. Raylan would be there soon, and that was good. He'd fill her head and let her empty out what she'd just learned. She didn't know what he intended to pick up for dinner, but whatever it might be, they could eat on the porch in the air. Since it had rained all morning, everything smelled fresh and clean. She'd decide what dishes to use when she saw what they'd be eating. Same with wine. With little to do, she changed. A dress, simple, springy, fun, and feminine. She scooped her hair back into a low tail at her nape and let curls escape. Leaving her feet bare, she did a quick turn in the mirror and deemed it pretty perfect for a casual, hopefully romantic, alfresco dinner at home. She heard Sadie's woof before she heard the car, but walked out to the second-story porch to see Raylan driving up. And he saw her. Hell of a picture, he thought. The woman in the flowing dress at the rail of the high porch, with the huge dog at her side, and flowers spilling out of pots around her. She'd be his all evening, all night. It seemed incredible to know it.
What's for dinner?
Come on down and find out.
She hurried down as she'd, following orders, locked the doors. When she opened the front door, Jasper darted in so he and Sadie could begin their joyful and energetic reunion.
Do you think they'll ever just go like, "Hey, good to see you," Adrian wondered.
No.
I'll follow their lead.
She threw her arms around Raylan, kissed him until his eyes all but rolled back.
Dogs are definitely my best friend. You look amazing.
I decided to celebrate the return of the sun by putting on a dress. I hardly ever. And that doesn't look like a carry-out bag.
Because it isn't. I'm going to fire up the grill and cook you a steak.
A steak?
Anybody who drinks kale smoothies needs the occasional shot of red meat.
Do you know how much iron's in kale?
No, and I don't much care.
He set the bag on the counter, pulled out the steaks, then two enormous potatoes.
And what's a steak without a potato football?
Each one of those is a meal for a family of four.
She picked one up, tested the weight. But I could do something interesting with these. As if in defense, he grabbed the second one.
Does it involve kale?
It does not. It involves butter, herbs, spices, and the grill.
Then you're on potato duty.
He took out a bag of salad mix.
There will be no judgment here.
I'll reserve judgment if we can punch up your bag o' salad with a few items I have on hand.
So it will be done. I've got experience in that area. You can trust me.
He handed her the second potato.
I'm going to leave these in your capable hands and start the grill.
When he came back in, she stood at the counter wrapping the potatoes in foil.
Your yard's rocking it. We planted some stuff. The flowers are looking good and the vegetables are okay, but they're not rocking it like yours.
Do you compost?
I keep meaning to.
Stop meaning to and do.
She emphasized with two firm taps to his chest. Help save the planet, make it, use it, and your garden can also rock it. She handed him the potatoes.
You should put these on, as they may take a week or two given their size. I'm going to open a nice bottle of red. Then we can sit on the back porch, look at my rocking garden. I have a progress report from Rachel. I'd like to tell you about it so we can shut it off and not talk or think about it for the rest of the evening.
Okay.
He leaned forward, kissed her forehead.
We're going to make it all right.
That, she thought, was the daddy in him. The comfort, reassurance. She didn't think she had daddy issues. Her grandfather had filled that role in every way. And she'd had Harry. But she found that aspect of Raylan very appealing. He came back in, put the steaks and the salad mix in her fridge, picked up the open bottle of wine.
Let's go sit.
She brought out a little bowl of olives, a little bowl of almonds. If the daddy gene was part of him, The feed the soul was part of her. She took a breath as he poured the wine.
You're right about the yard. I always enjoyed helping with the gardening, being out here with my grandparents, even as a kid. Now that I'm doing it alone, I still enjoy it.
I used to bitch and moan about the weeding and the work. Now, once the novelty wears off, I'll be the one listening to Bradley and Mariah bitch and moan.
And one day they'll remember gardening with you and plant their own.
I like to think so.
He shifted in his chair, looked in her eyes.
Tell me.
Rachel found three more women on the list. Dead. One is pretty clearly natural causes. She lost a battle with bone cancer. But the other two...
Not natural.
Adrian shook her head. Not natural. A woman beaten to death in the alley behind the bar she owned in New Orleans. Whoever killed her took her watch, her purse.
To make it look like a theft. Like a mugging.
Yeah. The other was out in Erie, Pennsylvania. She was in her car, parked. Shot in the back of the head by someone in the back seat. That was the determination. She'd been in a motel with someone not her husband.
They looked at the husband?
She nodded, thinking they sat talking of murder while the grill smoked, while butterflies danced around her flowers and the dogs raced around the yard. Business trip, out of town. Solid alibi. They looked to see if he'd hired someone to do it. The determination there, after a lot of looking, he didn't even know about the affair. Anyway, the two killings were years apart, a few thousand miles apart, with different methods. There wasn't any reason to connect them.
Until now. So that's 4 out of, what was it, 34? 8.5%.
She let out a half laugh. You're one of Tisha's breed, a mathophile.
Math is truth. That's serial killer territory. Isn't 3 the dividing line?
I don't know. But Rachel thinks it's likely she'll find more. Oh, Christ. She shuddered once, drank some wine. The oldest murder she's found was over 12 years ago, within a year after my first poem.
So he went from 3 years to 2. That's what she's found. Odds are he didn't back off for 5 years. I'm sorry.
He took her hand.
That sounds cold, but...
No, that's exactly what I want right now. Straight, logical, no bullshit. Nikki Bennett is on the road, driving back from her last job, so Rachel has to wait to speak with her. A few days, anyway, as Nikki tends to drop by other jobs, check progress, give a booster shot or whatever. It's part of her system. Meanwhile, Rachel's going through the list.
I hate when people try to tell me how to do my job, but... Shouldn't she take this to the FBI or the local cops?
She's going to. She thinks a week to put enough together to take to them, to make a solid case they'll pursue. She's made the connection. All of them were on Catherine's list, but they lived, worked in different areas, didn't know each other, were killed by different methods. None of them, as far as the investigations concluded, had received any threats. No poems.
She needs to convince them. I get it. She's convinced me.
Picking up the bottle, she topped off his glass, then hers. Smoking grills, butterflies, dogs, wine. Some normal to balance out the awful.
What she didn't say, and you're not, is that they didn't get any poems because they weren't the real focus. They aren't the reason their father was exposed, why he's dead, why their mother killed herself. Maybe they're a horrible kind of practice, or a way of releasing stress so the final act's prolonged.
He said nothing for a moment, just took her hand in his.
I know you don't feel any connection to them, and why would you?